Time to take a look now at how we can improve the energy efficiency of our multiple unit residential buildings. That's a big term for probably mostly apartments and condominiums, I believe. So if you live in an apartment or condominium, or maybe you have some friends or relatives living there, I hope you'll pay attention, because we've got some things to talk about today with Carter Dedolph, who is program manager for the Apartment and Condo Efficiency Services Program of the Focus on Energy program in Madison. And it offers a lot of information, technical expertise, financial incentives to help make these properties more energy efficient. So we're really pleased to have him with us. And you can join in with your own questions as we move along today. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Or if you're in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. Carter Dedolph, welcome. Nice
Thank
to have
you,
you
Larry.
With us.
Appreciate the opportunity to talk about the program.
Well, I'll tell you what, we've got some good things going. I think Focus on Energy is kind of ramping up a program.
Yeah, our new fiscal year, which started in July, we're expanding the program considerably. And so it's good news for apartment owners and apartment residents, tenants.
What are what ways are we ramping up, or what are the kinds of things that people should be knowing about?
Well, the program is really goes in two areas. One's new construction and one's the existing buildings. And I think most of the people would be interested in the existing buildings. The program provides technical expertise and incentives to owners or managers to help put energy efficiency measures in place in their buildings.
And what kinds of what kinds of incentives are we talking about here? Dollars, I assume.
Dollars, yeah. It really depends on what type of things get put in place. We take a look at the building shell, which is basically the insulation of the building. We also look at the boilers or the heating systems of the building, the hot water systems, what type of controls are with those systems. We also a lot of measures are involved with lighting, too. Energy efficiency lighting, such as compact fluorescent lights and mm-hmm. CFLs, and high efficiency, low watt fluorescent lights, such as the T8s.
So I expect the overall goal, well, maybe you could tell, what is the overall goal here? Reduce energy consumption, I
Exactly. assume. Yep. For anybody that's in Wisconsin that's eligible through the participating utilities or municipality or co-op utilities.
And when you think about it, you may not have the figures on this, but we're using, I know, as I mentioned earlier, more than a third of our energy gets used in our homes where mm-hmm. we live. And probably a pretty big percentage of homes are actually apartments or condominiums. That represents quite a large number, I would assume, for Wisconsin.
Yeah, in Wisconsin, it's about 25% of the units, residences, are apartments or condominiums. And it's about 15 to 17% of the buildings that are in the state, or the residential buildings that are in the state.
So we're talking about a heck of a lot of
yeah.
energy here. And for the owner of the property, you're looking at some potential real savings then.
Yeah, that's a difficult part of the apartment sector, is that not always the people that are paying for the measures are paying the utility bills. And so it's at times it's hard to get energy efficiency measures in place, because the apartment owners, it's a business, and they're looking at what's most efficient from a business standpoint. And a lot of times they're not actually paying the end bill on some of the units. The tenants are paying. So there's a little bit of a disconnect between who's providing stuff and who's paying the bills. So what we're trying to do is help the owners or the managers realize the benefits of putting the energy efficiency measures in, and that it will help with keeping the tenants' retention and being able to market the apartments as more energy efficient than their competitors.
Yeah, I would think, if you could say that, hey, we're conforming to the energy efficiency program as it's promulgated by Focus on Energy, that would be a good selling point, you'd think.
Yeah, and especially in the larger metropolitan areas where it's the markets are tight. Madison area right now, there's quite a bit of empty units. Anything that's a selling point for the managers or owners would be a benefit for them.
Yeah. Well, give us a call if you have a question at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Let's go to Richard and Ernie. Richard, hi. Thank you for calling.
Good morning, and good morning to Coach Carter there.
Oh, Richard, how are you?
Well, I'm really good. I was outside swinging a hammer on the house, furring out to put some foam insulation on and putting in some new thermal pane windows. And I'm a single-family dwelling up here, but I couldn't resist calling and say hello to you and just see how things are going for you.
Very good. How was your trip to Russia?
It was very good. It's very good to be home, too. There's nothing like your own bed and your own flush toilet. So anyway, I'm going to continue listening to the program for this single-family guy up here. Maybe I'll get some tips.
All right. Thanks,
Take
Richard.
Take care, Richard.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And you can join in and say hi to Carter or if you have a question at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Walk us through the process if we either own an apartment or a building or maybe we live in one or own a condo.
It's going to be a little bit different routes for depending on who's looking at what type of measures to put in. The program really looks at apartments or condos that are four units or more, and they have to share a common wall. So if it's a duplex or a triplex apartment, then the Focus on Energy's homes program, single residential homes program would be the
So that kicks area. In for them.
Yeah. But if it's a four unit and say it's a owner or manager that wants to see what they can do, they'd give us a call and then we'd put them in contact with an energy advisor and the energy advisor would set up a time to come out and take a look at the property and they do a walkthrough looking at the heating systems, the hot water systems and what type of lights they have in the common areas and units. And then they would provide recommendations to the owners about what they could do to improve. Then it's up to the owner to take those recommendations and either accept them or not accept them. Mm-hmm. And if they do put them in place, there are financial incentives depending on what they do.
Depending on the amount that they do.
Yeah.
John in Appleton has a question for you. John, hi.
Yeah, well, it's more of a comment. I've been in this multifamily business on the small end for about 30 years, and it's always kind of bothered me sometimes where I'm paying the bill and their tenants aren't paying much attention to how they set the thermostat or leaving windows open in the winter and things like that. And one solution, I mean, sometimes it's possible to divide the utilities so that they do get their own bill and they see what the costs are, but sometimes it's not, especially, you know, for example, I have lots of old houses that have been divided in two, and lots of times those go back into single families, so you don't want to invest in a second furnace. But what I've set up is a path through where, you know, there's two ways to do that, where you get the bill, give it to their tell the tenant what their share is, and a long time afterwards, basically, you get the money based compared to when the service was actually used. But I set that up on a budget payment for them, and this really only works if you actually two, three times during the winter give them some feedback as to, well, you know, you're using about 10% more than the previous tenant did or vice versa. But and give them the printouts and everything. I keep it all on the computer, which is wonderful these days. There's no way to do that otherwise.
Yeah, you bet.
And you know, provide some incentive for them to conserve, and also some incentive for me to, you know, be energy efficient in what I do to the building, since sometimes I don't always get reimbursed. You know how that works.
Well, that sounds like I bet you that's a problem that a lot of people have that are in John's situation.
Yeah, and it's hard to set up separate meters on some of the older buildings, or it's an additional cost to set up extra meters on large apartments. So the default is just to get the bill and divide it up by the number of apartment units.
Yeah, and that's, you know, if one person likes it hot and the other person likes it cooler, then the person who likes it cooler is going to complain. So, John, sounds like you got a pretty good plan going there. Does it work pretty well for you?
As I say, you know, I probably should give the tenants feedback more often than I do.
Oh, uh-huh.
Sometimes, and it's things kind of, there's lots of things to deal with when you're a small business person, from especially yeah. in this business. And as I say, you know, I think two or three times during the course of a winter, giving feedback would provide, you know, the maximum of initiative on their part
yeah.
to conserve.
Yeah, that makes sense. Thanks, John, for sharing that. Appreciate it. Appreciate your call. And you can join in at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions and comments. Where does the apartment and condo program begin, or how does a property owner get started on it?
They can just give us a call at the Focus toll-free number. And that's 1-800-762-7077.
What is that again?
1-800-762-7077.
Yeah.
And that number is good for any of the questions people have for the Focus programs, so residential, business programs, renewables.
All right, well, we'll take some more questions in just a minute, but let me remind you, our guest today, Carter Dedoff, is Program Manager for the Apartment and Condo Efficiency Services Program of Focus on Energy in Madison. It offers information, technical expertise, financial incentives, a whole lot more to help us all become a little more energy efficient in our homes and apartments and condos. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Carter Dedoff of the Focus on Energy program in Wisconsin, and he's in Madison here as we talk improving energy efficiency in our apartments and condos. Join us again at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890, or email us, I haven't given that yet, talk@wpr.org. Valerie and Cameron, your turn. Hi, Val.
Hi. I have a ranch-style condominium in Mokena, Illinois, and it's four units, and then, you know, the townhouses are in the middle and the ranch units are in the end. But I have a wall of a cathedral-style bedroom in this condo, and it's exposed, and the you know, it forms like the barrier of the patio of the people next door. Mm-hmm. But all winter long, it is so cold, and it always seems like air is coming in. This is a brick building. I'm already replacing the windows to make it warmer in there, because no matter how warm it is in the house, it's always 10 degrees colder in this place. Is there anything that I can do to make it warmer?
My suggestion is contact a insulating contractor and have them take a look at where there's air infiltration or any holes in the or leakage in your building.
One of the things, this would probably be the perfect spot to have somebody come in and do one of these energy audits.
Mm-hmm. On smaller buildings, that somebody will come in and be able to do a blower door test where they seal up the door and the different exits, entrances, and then there's a fan that measures the pressure as it's running. And you can do a before test and then an after test after you go through and seal. On larger buildings such as apartments, it's a little bit harder to close off everything and get yeah. all the residents out at the same time. But on smaller buildings, it's a possibility to see where the leaks are.
So that might be the first step for Val then.
Yeah, I would contact a insulating contractor.
An insulating contractor. What do they do, blow some kind of insulation in? Because this had Tyvek on it when it was built. I saw it when it was in the process of being built, and it had Tyvek on it.
Yeah, well, Tyvek would be good for covering the wall, but it all depends on how it's sealed, where it's joined, or where the roof's coming into the wall. There's a lot of different.
They didn't tape the seal. They didn't tape the joints and that sort of thing.
Could be. It's hard to say, but there's a lot of areas that there could
be. What do these energy contractors do as far as insulation goes in a building like this?
They do an assessment of what your building is like, and depending on what the situation is, they'd recommend or do install different types of insulation. And sometimes it's a blow-in, sometimes it's fiberglass, sometimes it could be foam in new construction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had actually just on our home, we had, because we had hail damage to our siding, we put an additional layer of insulation over the top of the, you know, the other Tyvek insulation mm-hmm. that was in there. And, of course, when they put it in so that the new insulation was covering the joints of the old insulation. And I think that's made a big difference. Of course, we haven't had a winter yet, but the when we've had hot weather, it seems to be quite a bit cooler in the house.
But yeah. I want to ask you something. You had the outside of your house off because you had hail damage, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, see, this is a brick building, and the bricks are on the outside.
Yeah, so you may be going with a foam in. You know, there could be some sort of blow-in insulation. There are different ways to do it. They can drill holes in the walls and uh-huh. put that insulation in. There's a lot of different ways to do it.
Okay.
All right, good
All
luck.
All right, I hope it works.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Mary in Waukesha, your turn. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you? I live in I'm a homeowner in a 48-unit condo building.
Okay.
And it's all owner-occupied. The first floor is basically the garage and laundry room and a few other common areas. It's a flat roof. We have the flat roof, it seems to me, would be a perfect place to put some solar panels. And I'm wondering what the cost of this energy audit is.
Oh, okay. For the energy audit, that's just for the building itself. The Focus on Energy also has a renewable program, too. And the toll-free number that we gave before, if you call that, they'll put you in touch with the renewables department program, and they can talk to you about what some of the options are and what the procedure would be to somebody would have to come out and do a site assessment and then provide some alternatives for you.
And that would be it. Have you got a pencil there handy, Mary?
Yes.
It's 1-800-762-7077.
Yes, but we have other possibilities that I think would benefit from an energy audit itself.
Okay. Yeah, just give us a call and we'll find out when an energy advisor is available and we'll schedule some to come out. It's a little bit hard for the individual units. It's
No, I'm thinking more in terms of the common areas.
Okay.
We for instance, in the laundry area, the whole building shares the cost of the water and the heat, the energy to heat the water for the laundry units.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to heat this common garage. We have lights in all the halls. They're
okay.
All a common expense.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, it's perfect example of what the program can help you with. So just give us a call and we'll...
But is there a charge for that?
Nope, no charge for the assessment at all. So
and it's the same 800 number?
Yep.
This is way cool. Thank you very much.
Very good.
All right, thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Yeah, well, and that's probably not a bad situation because you've got a 40 unit there, but everybody owns their own spots or their own place within that unit. So you'd think that certainly the meters and all that are different. And
yeah, it depends on what the building situation is. Focus on Energy provides a whole suite of programs. If the condos have their own furnace, each unit has a furnace, we have a program that can help with that, replacement of those. If it's a central systems, so one large boiler, the apartment and condo efficiency services, my program can help with that. If it's individual units and they're interested in lighting, we can provide programs for that to get CFLs in or fluorescent lights in.
And what about financial incentives on that? So would there be some part of the – well, certainly it's an advantage or an incentive to have – you could do it for free, do the assessment for free. But what if you're going to have to shell out money for – maybe you're putting in a solar hot water heater or something like that.
Yeah. The focus on energy programs, we help provide incentives for a certain amount of the measure. With light bulbs and certain fluorescent fixtures, we provide a fixed amount. So for CFLs, $2 a bulb. For T8, lighting fluorescent light fixtures, it's between $15 and $20 per fixture. On a different setup, such as a boiler, where it's going to be individual to what's in there currently, how efficient it is, and what type of boiler that you're putting in to replace it, those all go into the calculations about what the incentive amount would be. And the program incents over what the standard would be. So for boilers, for example, an old boiler might be 70% efficiency. And standard, if you replaced it now, would be 80 to 85% efficient. So the program incents if you put in anything over 85.
That beats, you know, okay, that beats the 85. Okay.
Yeah. So if you put in an 85 to 90%, there's a certain incentive. If you put in between a 90 and 95%, there's
an additional,
yeah.
More money. And then I'm also wondering on the federal and state, on the tax side of things, there were tax incentives for some energy efficient things. I mean, that's not something that you wouldn't be doing, but there are some, aren't there? Or are they pretty well gone by the boards?
I'm not quite sure for apartments what they are. I know there was some for single-family residences. That's not my area of expertise, unfortunately.
All right, Mary, again, thank you for calling. Mike in Rice Lake, we'll turn to you next. Hi, Mike.
Yes. I hear a lot about the compact fluorescent changeouts and, you know, the changeouts for the TH for the T12s. But the LED lighting is something that's really interested me, you know, where you see, like, the street lighting where you've got the real bright lights that are actually LEDs that are putting out more light for less energy. And, you know, they're tremendous. We see them in this year I've seen them in Christmas. More and more in the Christmas lighting, but as far as for actual type lighting for like apartments or whatever else, what's the technology in that now?
I would say eventually, but not now. It's not quite there yet where you're going to be able to replace incandescent or a CFL.
That will be tremendous when you go ahead and get the 10-20,000 hour bulb, and it puts out more light per bang, and you know. I mean, the savings in changeouts is something else or something like that.
Oh, yeah. For exit signs, that's a great example of where you used to have incandescent light bulbs and you're running a 40-watt light bulb or 240-watt light bulbs in the exit signs. And with the LED lights, you can put them in for, I think it's 2 watts or 4 watts, and they're guaranteed. Some of them are 15,000 hours up to 27,000 hours. So it's the savings is there, the reduction in labor is there. You don't have to store light bulbs, an incandescent light bulb and an exit sign. Since it's on 24/7, every 4 to 6 months, you probably have to change it out compared to 10 years for the LEDs.
Every 10 years. Yeah. So there's still a ways to go to get that light bulb in the lamp.
Yeah, for the LEDs. It's exciting. There's a lot of advances in lighting, but they're not quite there yet.
Thanks again, Mike, for calling. Appreciate it. Let's go to Brad in Appleton next. Brad, hello to you.
Hello. See, I've got a question on the lighting as well. Now, I run multiple sites of apartment complexes, and we have upgraded all of our lighting in the common areas to the spiral fluorescent.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What do you do with those bulbs when they burn out? seeing that they do have mercury in them. Like our 4-foot fluorescents, we've upgraded and went to the environmental safe bulbs where you can just throw them in the dumpsters.
Mm-hmm.
But these spiral ones, I mean, do you know where you can bring them and approximately how much it's going to cost to get rid of these?
Right now, there are a few disposal sites, but we're really trying to push focus on energy is this fall rolling out some programs with collection sites, hopefully
okay.
at the retail level, that most of the retailers will have a collection box or a collection bucket that you can bring them in, and then they'll be disposed of correctly.
So is there going to be a plan to have that environmental safe on the spirals as well as, like, the 4-foot?
Right now, I don't know about the environmental safe, but we are working on providing locations that you can bring them, convenient locations that you can bring the bulbs to.
Okay, and is that just going to be a free dump-off,
yeah.
do you know?
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you much.
Thank you.
That would solve a lot of the issues and a lot of the problems. That's the bad or the sort of the troubling end of those lights.
Yeah.
But in cities like Madison, I believe you can.
Yeah, I think if you go on the Dane County website, that they have locations around the county that you can bring them to. I'm not sure offhand how many, but I remember looking at it, and there's maybe 4 to 6.
But it'd be a lot handier to have them at the retail outlets.
Yep. Yeah, you're going
just,
and
you
buying.
You got to go in to buy one. You might as well pick, you know, drop it off and then just pick up another one.
Yep.
Makes good sense. Jane in Middleton, your turn. Hi, Jane.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm calling because I have all fluorescent lights in my building, and I just went out to buy some ceiling fans, and I did put fluorescent lights in those as well. When I picked it out at way up high at Home Depot, I didn't realize that it had ends that were not the same size as a normal light bulb, nor were they candelabras. They were in between size. Meant it was almost impossible to find fluorescence. It is impossible to find fluorescence. I was lucky enough to find some adapters that I could put in to then put on the fluorescence. But I think it's time that we start having rules that these manufacturers need to make it easy for us to use fluorescence.
Well, you'd think a manufacturer would want to do something and make it easy so they'd sell more, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So I was very upset when I found that out, because it actually cost me considerably more to have the adapters as well as the difficulty as well as just finding them.
Yeah, that's a pain. Well, I don't know, Carter?
It's a good question. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, you'd think that they why would they be manufacturing in a different size that most people wouldn't use?
Yeah, I know a couple different sizes, but I'm not sure why there would be different.
I thank you very much for calling. I wish we had an answer for that one. Maybe somebody else does. If you have an answer or if you have a question of your own, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. Earlier in the program, Carter, you mentioned new construction and new buildings, new mm-hmm. apartments, new condos. That slowed down a little bit across the country, but it's still there. People are still building apartments and condos. And I'm wondering, what kind of programs have you got relating to those new buildings?
Actually, in the new construction part of the program, we're still keeping very busy, even with the slowdown.
Oh, you are.
In the market, the owners and the developers are realizing that this is a benefit and they want to be involved with the program. And so that's very good from our standpoint, the owner's standpoint, the future tenants' standpoint.
Yeah.
With the new construction, we try to get in as early as possible in the process before the design and the plans are made and talk to the interested parties to convince them and show them the advantages of putting these different energy efficiency measures in. And the earlier in the planning process we can get into, the more influence we can have, such as building orientation, which will reduce your heating and cooling loads.
Yeah, building orientation is pretty big. What's the best way to orient a building?
If your long axis is east-west, that you minimize your windows on the north side, more windows on the south side for your solar heating during the winter.
Oh, so that's one simple way that you can save a lot of money right off the bat. Jim and Hurley, it's your turn. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, good morning. Here's my question. I did it all, the insulation, the lights, the high-efficiency heater and hot water tank. My question is, I have surge protectors on all my electrical, TV, stereo, radio. What determines an instant-on appliance? Because I understand that if you have these plugged in, say I unplug everything when I'm not using it, and I noticed my light bill went from $132 a month down to, say, about, I saved about $42 a month.
That's good.
With all these, with everything. But what determines an instant-on appliance? How do I identify it? Is it with, like, say, my radio and microwave, if they have LED screens? I'll take my answer off there. Thank you.
I'm not sure. That's appliances is kind of out of my...
That's a good question. Yeah. I wonder about... I'm trying to remember now if there was information on the website, the Focus on Energy website, that relates to that.
There's a couple pages. There are a couple pages on Energy Star appliances and energy uses.
And what's the website again? It's focusonenergy.com?
Correct. Yep.
So... Jim, you might want to take a look at focusonenergy.com and take a look at their website, because I seem to remember reading some things on there about just that question. So,
and then there's also the Energy Star website, too, which is
through
the federal government.
Yeah, and I think you just go to energystar.gov.
Yep. I believe it is.
Something like that. Yeah. Well, just go to Energy Star program. It's going to pop
up. It's going to come up,
It's going to pop up on your search engine. So that's another place to go and get some real specific information that you're asking about. Bob in Madison, your turn. Hi, Bob.
Yeah, hi. I'm an architect. I'm in Madison and also Oak Park, Illinois. And, you know, I've been real energy conscious, and I think it's great that there are so many possible ways to save energy. One of the things as an architect that I'm a little concerned about is the fluorescent high-energy bulbs, the color of those darn things. From an architect's point of view, you know, they are not the same as the incandescent bulb. And then on top of that, the disposal problem is... I think sometimes misleading to the public, you know, that's sort of a knee-jerk solution that the general public thinks they've got to replace all their incandescent bulbs with these fluorescent bulbs, but if they just turn off their lights when they're not in the room, that'll help.
Yeah.
You know, so for certain applications, I think the incandescent bulb is still a preferable solution. As far as disposing of them, right here in Madison on Willie Street at the Ace Hardware, they'll take them, but you have to pay a slight charge for taking the bulb back. And I'm, you know, as far as putting them in a public hall or a laundry room or something like that, that's fine. But in some of these decorative light fixtures,
they have a different kind of light.
They have a different kind of light, and it isn't the kind of light you want, so use an incandescent bulb. The other comment I have is about Tyvek. I think the general public thinks Tyvek is some sort of insulation. That's the way it sounded. One of your callers earlier. I think it's a cheap way of wrapping a house.
Yes.
Keeping the water out. Yes.
And it's, what, an air barrier maybe, and a bit of a moisture barrier, but as far as vapor barrier, the vapor barrier is supposed to be on the inside of the house, not the outside of the house. So I think contractors love to use Tyvek because it's cheap, and they just wrap the house up, and the public thinks it's a great solution to something. But to me, it's not, you know, I think the general public has the wrong impression of what it is. It's more of an air barrier, correct?
That's correct.
Moisture, too. It's not vapor, but moisture. Yeah. And
so,
it all depends on also how you install it, whether you tape the seams correctly, whether you where the wall comes to the soffit, if you finish it off correctly there.
I'm a little confused about whether it lets moisture out of the house. You know, you have a vapor barrier on the inside below the wall finish, and so that the moisture inside the house will not get into the insulation and the wood stud construction or whatever. So what is the point of having Tyvek on the outside?
Well,
we used to use building paper, felt, right?
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Well, nothing.
Nothing's wrong with that.
People still use it. It's Tyvek's just 10 feet wide, 10 feet wide, so it's a little bit easier to install.
It's a little, takes less time to install. It's probably cheaper, too. Yeah. One of the things that Bob mentioned on bulbs, and I think I've had other experts on talking about energy efficiency, and their comment has always been, that, look, if you've got a bulb in there and it's working, don't take that bulb out and throw it away. Wait till it burns out and then replace the bulb.
Yeah.
Is that what you guys advocate?
Both.
You advocate both?
Well, if it's in a high use where it's on a lot, if you change out to a CFL right away, you're going to start saving money right away.
Okay, so something that's on all the time.
Yeah, or quite off a majority of the time, majority of the day, that it be better to take it and replace it right away. If it's, say, in a closet where it's on for 10 minutes in the morning when you try to find your shirt, wait until it burns out and then replace it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Or even in your bedroom sometimes if you're not – how long are the lights on in the bedroom a lot of times?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes a few minutes, and so that makes a lot of sense, as do a lot of the suggestions from the Focus on Energy folks. Carter, thank you so much for being
with us. Thank you, Larry.
Yeah, thanks so much for being with us. I want to give that 800 number again. It's 1-800-762-7077. Call that number or go to focusonenergy.com.
Yep.
Thanks so much, Carter.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. Carter Dedoff is Program Manager for the Apartment and Condo Efficiency Services Program of Focus on Energy in Madison. So pleased to have him with us. They've got lots of information, technical information, financial incentives to make your property more energy efficient. And what could be better than that? Coming up, as a matter of fact, we're going to be talking with Judy Ziwak, who will be telling us about something called the Power Initiative. And she represents the state of Wisconsin's Office of Energy Independence. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.